Let me lay out the issue for our first issue related to equalization. Utah is known for having funding equalization in what is called the weighted pupil unit or the basic program. We are totally equalized. Whatever the local property tax, which is uniform, the statewide property tax, which is uniform across the state, doesn't produce for your school district on a per student guarantee, the state fills up the difference with state income taxes so that everybody gets the same amount per student, and then we weight students based on their difficulty to teach, too, so that those that are more difficult have additional funding. The problem is the local property tax. We have some districts, such as Park City and Rich District, which have a very low tax rate and a very high tax yield because they have a huge tax base per student. You have a very poor school districts, such as Alpine and Jordan and others that you'll see on a chart, which have a very high tax rate and a very low yield per student. So we have a terrible disparity there, and we are at risk of an equity lawsuit. There have been 45 states in the nation now that where the federal courts have entered and basically become a super school board deciding what those taxes are going to look like and how equalization is going to occur. So we have this first presentation, Senator Aaron Osmond, who this year sponsored legislation to begin that equalization effort, and Rob Smith, who is the Alpine School District Business Administrator. Alpine School District is the low price leader in Utah. They offer quality education at about $5,500 per kid in the general fund. It's really quite remarkable the quality of education we're getting for such a small amount. But Senator Osmond is ensuring that districts like Alpine are actually going to get more equalized funding so that they can do more for kids.
I just want to know, Howard, did that eat into my time, your intro?
Go ahead.
No, I will keep it short. I want to thank you for the opportunity to come and speak about this important issue. We've been grappling with this problem for many years. There have been multiple attempts to address property tax inequity throughout the state in many sessions, and they have all failed because we took the approach of more what is called the Robin Hood effect, trying to implement legislation that took from districts that had and move that revenue to districts that did not. The problem is very significant, though, from a standpoint of tax equity. The tax burden, the fairness of the tax burden that is placed on the various districts because of their local property values, which are not within their control. And you'll see on the chart here just a minute exactly what Howard was talking about, that inequity and that unfair tax burden. The other issue is property tax funding inequity from a student perspective, the inability of the local school district to fund adequately programs that other districts have no problem funding, and opportunities that creates, or lack of opportunity that creates for the students in those various districts from a funding equity perspective. In the 2015 session, we presented this issue in a different way to the legislature. Instead of trying to pursue the Robin Hood effect, we proposed an actual property tax increase to the basic rate. And that has been a very divisive topic. But we have had, as most of you know, a revenue-neutral basic rate. Since 1996, that rate has not been adjusted for inflation or other any impact. And the result was roughly $300 million worth of loss of buying power over time. So the legislature agreed that we needed to address this inequity problem, that there was significant potential threat associated from a legal perspective as well as from a tax inequity perspective, that we needed to do something about that problem, and we passed a property tax increase relative to the state basic rate, generated $75 million to at least align every district from a funding perspective on a per-student basis to the same level that we guarantee today to our charter schools. Our charter schools actually have a statutory guarantee that says that they will receive on a per-student basis funding an amount equal to the average of the state property tax generated in each district across the state. So they had that guarantee. But more than half of our districts did not have that guarantee. Well, they do now, in effect, with this change that we've made. We brought every district up to the same level as charter schools. The challenge, though, is that this problem doesn't go away now. We've done some real heavy lifting. What we passed in the session was a heavy lifting. We brought most of the districts up to an equitable level. And we ensured that that funding went to the districts where the most amount of local taxing effort was occurring, and we took care of those districts that showed that effort. It wasn't a freebie. They have to engage with their local citizens. They have to pass tax increases in their own districts in order to have access to that funding to ensure that they're doing their local part to, in return, receive that benefit. Well, take a look at this. You can see some of the inequity that Howard was talking about. In the red is the actual tax rate that the people of that district are burdened with. In the green is the tax revenue per student that we're currently generating. So you can see a significant inequity. High tax rate, low revenue per student as you move across the various districts. That's the problem that we're trying to solve. But as we move forward, you will see that we've made some good progress, like I said, but we have an ongoing challenge because every year that inequity problem continues. Values don't really change that dramatically. Districts begin to generate more money where there's more value. You have more inequity that's built into the system. We have to have an ongoing solution for that problem. And I would like to propose that we look at a solution. It's not a significant pain point for us to do, but something we ought to be looking at. My proposal is that in order to maintain the proposal that or the model that we have of guaranteeing that our districts that are below the same guaranteed rate that we provide to our charter schools, that every year we should allocate a portion of the growth that we generate in both the state basic property tax as well as our income tax, and use a portion of that growth, earmark a portion of that growth for the purpose of continuing the equalization effort and ensuring that our districts are at a minimum receiving the same amount of revenue on a per student basis that we guarantee to the students in our charter schools. Now, it's up to 20% of that growth we should earmark, but it doesn't mean that we would use that amount every year. It would vary dramatically sometimes year to year. But the concept is to continue this equalization effort. In a proposal that I'm going to be making in the upcoming session, we've accepted that there's a problem, we recognized it, we dealt with it, we addressed most of the gap, but now we need to continue it, and I believe this is the best approach that we can take, and I'd be happy to talk with you more about it as we move forward closer to the session. The next piece I want to show is this is what we did. You can see here in the graph, this is the actual revenue per district. And what we achieved with SB 97 there in the dark at the top was we actually equalized all the districts up to that level that I was talking about, that revenue per student that we guaranteed to our charter schools. And we need to continue that effort from my perspective to avoid the problems that Howard so well articulated. So here's some final context I want us all to consider. We have to remember from a legislature perspective that we as a legislature actually created this problem. We're the ones that drew the boundaries. We're the ones that artificially set up these districts. And the values within those districts vary dramatically from district to district. So therefore, we have to continue to watch this problem and be willing to address it as we move forward. Equalization is tied to local effort. That will never go away. And I believe it's very important for us to reinforce with the local districts that if you want to receive benefit under this equalization effort, you must put some skin in the game and show that that's the case. We'll continue to evaluate those formulas and make sure that that's the case. Now, here's a really important one. We expect the districts to use that net new funding wisely. There is important conversation about how we can require districts to report on how that funding is being used to make sure that we're using it in the most effective way to drive academic outcomes, successful academic outcomes within our school districts. And then finally, we want to balance and recognize the importance of local control. These school districts understand what they need to do in their local districts and how to use that money wisely. We don't want to mandate and direct that. We want to support that local control, but with that comes local accountability as well. And with that, I just want to thank you very much for your time. I look forward to talking with you about this more in the future. Rob?
Just like to say thank you to Senator Osmond and all the other legislators here. I really appreciated Senator Henderson's reference to Vince Lombardi and the football. You see, as the chief financial officer for Alpine School District, I appreciate Howard's note that we're the low price leader. And I think that maybe come with a couple of interesting connotations. But in Alpine School District, I think we struggle with defining what the football is. Because in education, we're all experts. We have a business or a private purpose. We have a public purpose. If you're a parent, you want what's best for your students. And no matter how many dollars we receive, what we really care about is the outcomes for our young people. That's really what we should be about. and the dollars we receive we should use as prudently, as wise as we can to achieve those outcomes. That's what our parents, that's what our customers expect from us. I also think the analogy is interesting because once we define what the football is, then what do we do with it? We often have a different understanding of what the goal line is. And sometimes the goal line changes. We add new rules, we add new players, new coaches, etc., into the mix. And I appreciate the efforts of our policymakers to recognize those things and to provide some relief for districts like Alpine relative to equalization. Senator Stevenson and I have been talking about equalization for 18 years. And I think the efforts this past session have been much appreciated. So I want to share from Alpine's perspective a couple of things relative to Senate Bill 97. I appreciate Senator Osmond's expectation that we're transparent, and I want to talk about how we're going to use those resources. So the first slide I want to show, I guess I can advance it here. This shows the enrollment growth and the assessed value per student. Pretty tough to see, but nonetheless, Alpine, in the 13 years I've been there, we have increased 25,000 students in the 13 years, or nearly 2,000 students per year. When you look at our assessed value, you can see the impact of the recession. There in 2009 at a high point, and then the significant decrease relative to assessed value per student. It, basically today, we are at the same place as where we were in 2007, with just a slight increase when you look at our assessed value per student. With all of the activity and all of the new businesses and all of the new investment into northern Utah County, this is still where we're at. It's pretty interesting to think about. The second slide I wanted to show briefly, and again, Senator Stevenson in his intro referenced this, so I won't spend a lot of time. The blue line shows the amount of dollars we spend per student. And you can see from 2009 to 2014, it's flat. Came down a little bit with the recession, but in essence is flat when you compare that period of time. I think that's good news, because we are trying to do exactly what I think you would expect of us, and that's to be wise with the funds that we are given. This next slide really talks about Senate Bill 97, and this is where I want to spend most of my time. Again, I will be brief. It's a busy slide. For those of you data people, numbers are on top. For those of you who like graphs, pictures on the bottom. So with FY15 being the baseline or the current year, you can see the Capital Foundation, which Senate Bill 97 will appropriate 20% of the funds there. In the growth area, 5%. Those two are used for capital purposes. Why is that important to a growing district like Alpine? Because a significant portion of our tax effort is for building new schools. And you would find that in all of the districts with high effort, you will see that that same condition exists. So those first two address capital. The next 75% addresses operations. So if you look at FY16, of the $75 million that is expected, I know we have a statutory issue that the legislature is going to solve, but I'm going to talk about that here as I talk about FY16. Alpine School District is projected to receive $17.8 million of new dollars when the statutory issue is corrected. If I were to net that out, we would receive $13.3 million. It's about a $4.3, $4.4 million issue to us. Where that shakes out is into capital. It's about $7.5 million new into capital, about $10 million into operations. Again, 4.3, if we back that out of the operations, about 5.7 is what we're projecting of new dollars into operations. Here's what we're doing with that revenue. Our school board has directed the superintendent, myself, to lower class size and target that at K-3. Why is K-3 important? Because the research shows reading on grade level by grade 3 is the greatest predictor of graduation and success for students. So we have allocated 54 new teachers to lower class sizes, K-3, to pre-recession levels. Significant impact. And if you talk to any of our principals in Alpine School District, they are extremely grateful for the move of the Board of Education in doing that. The legislature didn't tell us we had to do that. We put the dollars that they're giving us to the area of greatest effect for the outcome we seek. Second thing we're doing with the operation dollars, we are investing in instructional technology, $1.5 million new dollars into instructional technology, leveraging technology efforts. Senator Osmond, Superintendent Smith just recently attended our school district. We went to our very highly impacted schools. What a great opportunity to share with them what we're doing to increase graduation there, but also to talk about our digital effort. And the digital effort, pretty amazing what we're doing there. That $1.5 million will help us reach more kids, reach kids better, have them more engaged. Once their attachment increases, again, our research shows achievement increases. So that's what we're doing with the operations side. On the capital side, again, this is, I think, good news for taxpayers, members of this association, is we are increasing our efforts to build facilities without incurring debt. Our school board started an effort back in 2005. We are now to a point as the lowest funded, if you will, from that perspective, district. We are building an elementary school every other year with cash. Pretty remarkable. Again, in 13 years, we're growing about 2,000 students per year. This additional $7.5 million will enable us to do that, continue that effort, as well as save or decrease the need for bonds over time, saving taxpayers significant dollars in interest expense. So if we were to do something similar to what Senator Osmond showed, the rest of this chart from FY17 through 21 says if there was an additional $25 million allocated to equalization efforts, what would that do for Alpine, and how would that directly help students and their outcomes? So for us, as we modeled it, it's about $7 million a year. Again, each one of the lines graphically show the increases down at the bottom. If we were to get to 21, that's about $53 million of new investment, 25% of that being in capital, and again, 75% being in operations. We appreciate the support. We appreciate the legislation. We think there is much more to do, and we are prepared and ready to be transparent and accountable to you because you're our customers. And again, I thank the legislators here for their good work. I'm grateful that they are conservative and measured, and I appreciate the opportunity we have to serve kids in this great state. Thanks.